हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपद 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 नित्य बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोजयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 4 वर्सेस 49 एंड 50 Okay, some time to adjust it. It's a little easier for me to read this.
ಸವಯದ ಮಹಾದೇವೋ ಮಮ ವೀರ್ ಮಹಾದೇವೋ ಮಮ ವೀರ್ಯೋ ಪ್ರಮಿತಃ ಉಪಭ್ರಮಿತಃ ಮೇನೇಖಿಲಂ ಇವಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಉದ್ಯತಃ ಸ್ವರ್ಗಕರ್ಮಣಿ ಅಥಾಮೇ ಭೀತೋ ದೇವಸ್ ಥಾಮೇ ಭೀತೋ ದೇವಸ್ ತಪೋತಪ್ಯತ ದಾರುಣಾಂ ನವವಿಶ್ವ ಸೃಜೋ ಯುಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಯೇನಾದಾವ್ ಅಷ್ಟಜದ್ ವಿಭೂ ಸವೈಯದಾ ಮಹಾದೇವೋ ಮಮ ವೀರ್ಯೋಪ್ರಭ ಮಮ ವೀರ್ಯೋಪಭ್ರಿಮತಃ ವೀರ್ಯ ಉಪಭ್ರಿಮತಃ ಓಕೆ ಮೇನೇಖಿಲಂ ಇವಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಉದ್ಯತ ಸ್ವರ್ಗಕರ್ಮಣಿ ಅಥಾಮೇ ಭಿಹಿತೋ ದೇವಸ್ ತಪೋತಪ್ಯತ ದಾರುಣಾಂ ನವವಿಶ್ವಸೃಜೋ ಯುಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಯೇನಾದಾವಸೃಜದ್ ವಿಭೂ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಸವೈಯದಾ ಮಹಾದೇವೋ ಮಮ ವೀರ್ಯ ಉಪಭ್ರಮಿತಃ ಮೇನೇಖಿಲಂ ಇವಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಉದ್ಯತ ಸ್ವರ್ಗಕರ್ಮಣಿ ಅಥಾಮೇ ಭಿಹಿತೋ ದೇವಸ್ ತಪೋತಪ್ಯತ ದಾರುಣಾಂ ನವವಿಶ್ವಸೃಜೋ ಯುಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಯೇನಾದಾವಸೃಜದ್ ವಿಭುಃ ಸಹ ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವೈ ಇಂಡೀಡ್ ಯದಾ ವೆನ್ ಮಹಾದೇವಃ ದ ಚೀಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ಮಮ ಮೈ ವೀರ್ಯ ಉಪಭ್ರಮತಃ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ರೀಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ ಮೇನೇ thought khilam incapable eva as if atmanam himself udyatah attempting swarga karmani in the creation of the universal affairs atha at that time may by me ಅಭಿತಃ ಎಡ್ವೈಸ್ಡ್ ದೇವಃ ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಪಃ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಅತಪ್ಯಥ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ದಾರುಣಾಂ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ನವ ನೈನ್ ವಿಶ್ವಸೃಜಃ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಟು ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ Yusman, all of you, Yena, by whom, Adav, in the beginning, Ashtrajat, created, Vibhuhu, the great. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the Chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. One more time. When the Chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. Nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in the austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabhdev advised his sons, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhayet. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text 1, teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Litha Shri Vishakhanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Karoti Vashalam, Pangum Langhayate Girim, Yat Kripatamaham Vande, Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. One more time, translation. When the Chief Lord of the Universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. And in accordance with my instructions, he underwent austerity, extreme difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. It's a beautiful verse. Thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with all of you. And I'll share something for my own purification. So just briefly a little bit of the context. Lord Vishnu, he is speaking to Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha was engaged in performing austerities for a long time, and Lord Vishnu, he personally comes and he gives him his association, and as a part of his association he is giving him instructions. So here he is sharing before this verse some of the verses that we read. Lord Vishnu is sharing how he is in charge of creation. He is the overall in charge of creation. The Bhagavatam, it has 10 main topics. 2 of them are Sarga and Visarga. Sorry. So Sarga is what the Supreme Lord does. He is the cause of all creation. He is the cause of all causes. And Visarga is what Lord Brahma, he does. And in turn, Lord Brahma, as we see here, he doesn't do it himself. He is assisted by others. So briefly, this is what's happening. And Prajapati Daksha, he is one of the progenitors. So he is helping Lord Brahma perform his service. So this is perfect, the first point. You know, the mood here of, you know, Das, Das, Anadas, the servant to the servant to the servant. So Lord Brahma, one can say, he is the servant, you know, of Lord Vishnu. Prajapati is a servant of his servant. This is the consciousness. And Lord Vishnu is instructing, just in the translation, he's instructing Prajapati Daksha about many things. So he's saying, firstly he's saying Lord Brahma, who is the cause of Prajapati Daksha, he was inspired. This is there in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you want to read it, the 9th chapter, 10th chapter. We all know how Lord Brahma, he found himself, you know, on this lotus flower, and he tried to find the root of his existence, and that culminates with Lord Brahma understanding who he is, who is Lord Vishnu, and then he has an impetus to create. And here Lord Vishnu is saying, so he was inspired, and then, but then he found himself incapable of doing that service. So this is another important point. We may feel very, very inspired by many, many things in devotional service. And if we were just to, you know, charge into our services, you know, based on our inspiration, firstly feeling very capable, not, you know, I guess performing the proper austerities, will be finished. So here Lord Brahma, who is the most intelligent being, the first created being, Lord Vishnu is saying, he felt himself incapable. And so anyway, so Lord Vishnu is cautioning Prajapati Daksha that Lord Brahma, he felt himself incapable. And then Lord Vishnu is very, very compassionate. Reciprocating with Lord Brahma's mood, he says, I advised him. So he had an inspiration to do some service, but he found himself unqualified, incapable. So I empowered him, I advised him, and my instructions, my advice is my empowerment. So one specific advice that he gave was to perform austerities, tapaha. That's the word that Brahma heard. Tapaha, tapaha. That's all he heard. So this is another beautiful point here. So Lord Vishnu, he is saying that he advised Lord Brahma to perform austerities. Then the Lord Brahma, he took up those austerities and then he executed his service. So this is very, very important. We are not Lord Brahma, neither are we Prajapati Daksha. But we do have some service. We are not irrelevant. We are insignificant, but we are not irrelevant in the plan of Krishna. And this is a topic that you know, touches the heart of all, you know, devotees. You know, in the Christian world, it's called, you know, what is my calling? You know, so we all have a service. You know, we all have a service in the plan of the Lord. And how that becomes, you know, clearer and clearer. It's like initially, you know, the vision is very, very foggy. It's not so clear. But then as we perform Krishna consciousness, the activities of Krishna consciousness, beginning with chanting, hearing, and doing some practical service, tad viddhi pranipathena pariprasthena sevaya, so the thing becomes, you know, clear. The first thing that we have to understand is jivera swarupa hoya Krishna Hiranitya Das. This is my eternal position, that I am a servant of Krishna. So initially, when we begin the Krishna consciousness movement, we should be happy to just be engaged in any service. You know? And the more menial, the better. And if you hear the story of all of our disciples of Prabhupada, when they all began, you know, cleaning the bathrooms and washing the pots and so on and so forth, and now they are, you know, the leaders, world leaders of the Hare Krishna movement. So they didn't begin, you know, sitting on the Vyasasan, giving classes. So they began, as they say, in the trenches, you know, menial, you know, service, menial seva. This is a theme. Even, you know, Shyamananda was engaged by Jiva Goswami. Simple service, of course, you know, Seva Kunj. Seva Kunj, we are here. Seva Kunj. He gave him a service to clean the Kunj where Radha and Krishna would perform pastimes. It's just a very simple labor, you know, sweeping, making the place clean. But Shyamananda Pandit, he did it with his heart. He invested his heart fully, so much so that, you know, he found a small ankle bell, which was, you know, of Srimati Radharani. And so one of her associates, Lalita Devi, she came, skipping many details, she came for the ankle bell. Yeah. So he got the association of Lalita Devi and then Srimati Radharani. He was taken, you know, to the spiritual realm through that simple and menial service. We hear, you know, Narottam Das Thakur serving his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami. He was a king, he was a prince, Narottam Das Thakur. But, you know, he did menial service to his spiritual master. The list goes on and on and on. So, initially, we should be very happy to just be engaged in any service. Dasha Vasmi, please engage me as you like. And then as we purify ourselves through this process of Krishna consciousness, then, you know, the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas may say, Prabhu, thank you very much. You washed the pots for 10 months now. We need you for Sankirtan. Let's go on Sankirtan. Yeah. So this is a very important thing. Where, of course, it's not that we, you know, repress our nature, but we have to understand that actually our nature is to serve Krishna. That's our nature. And then what we sometimes so get caught up with, what is my nature, is actually the psychophysical nature. But then, yesterday I was having a discussion with the devotee, we don't even have a proper understanding of our psychophysical nature, especially in the Kali Yuga, everything is upside down, topsy-turvy. You know, you know, guna karma, so even the varnashram system is not there, really. So even the psychophysical nature, we are not really in touch with the psychophysical nature. But as we perform devotional service, what happens is our spiritual nature, it shines through, and our psychophysical nature also, it becomes a little more clear what's our psychophysical nature. And of course, the Vaishnavas that know us, they also help us identify our psychophysical nature. Then they may say, Prabhu, you know, the spiritual master may say, could you do this service? So then, as Prabhupada says, the spiritual master says, do this service, that's your life and soul. If he says, leave that, do this, that's your service. One time some disciple was asking Prabhupada, is it okay to be attached to the service, to one service? Prabhupada said, yes. But if the spiritual master says, leave service A, do service B, then we do it. So, essentially, the attachment is to the spiritual master or Krishna service, not so much to the service itself. That's how we should be. I mean, the Vaishnavas, we are malleable. So, you know, as we are moving along in devotional service, based on, you know, the needs of the movement, the needs of the association, in the local Sangha that we are living in, based on that, you know, the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master engage us in service, and we should be happy to take part in that for our purification. And this is, you know, the austerity that Rishabhdev is talking about. 551, you can read it. It's a very beautiful purport. It's quite amazing. Rishabhdev's teachings are considered to be, you know, very powerful and heavy and beautiful. This is where he begins, the first verse itself. He begins like, you know, up there. Essentially, in the purport, Prabhupada says that this, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is available in all forms of life. And the human form of life is very, very rare. It's very rarely achieved. And as we see, it's very austere in the lower life forms. Life is very, very austere. But Rishabhdev is saying, what is this human form of life? You perform tapodivyam, intense austerity. Transcendental austerity. You perform that by which your, you know, existence will be purified, your heart will be purified. So he's encouraging his sons to engage in transcendental austerity. And Prabhupada says, this is transcendental austerity, this movement of Krishna consciousness. That's what is this, transcendental austerity. And he gives the example in the purport, which is like right on, way back in the 70s, but even now it's, I think, more relevant. Prabhupada says, you know, a man, you know, he drives, you know, 3 hours to get to work. Then he works from 9 to 5. Again, he comes back 3 hours. And then, you know, he eats, sleeps, and then he has a little bit of, you know, sex life. Prabhupada is very direct. He says, so for that, you know, little sex life, you know, he is performing so much austerity, which is freely available in all the other forms of life. So in that purport it's writing, so this human form of life should not be wasted, you know, in such a way. It should be engaged, you know, for Krishna consciousness. It should be engaged like that. So that's one point. Oh, many points. And then he's also, so this translation itself, he said, he gave him advice, therefore I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. So this is the, you know, the heart, the spiritual master and disciple. Lord Brahma is the first, you know, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is the original preceptor. So he's showing us how he's acting as a disciple. He felt himself insignificant, incapable. He wanted to serve the Lord, but he could not find any qualifications. And the Lord understood his heart, and he gave him the instruction, the spiritual master. Gave him instruction. He took the spiritual master instructions of his life and soul, and he carried them out. You know, and because of these great austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. So again, as Nityananda Prabhu was sharing yesterday, the Supreme Lord is independent. He doesn't need anything outside of him to create. Even what the ingredients are his, the potencies are his. So he doesn't need anything outside of him to create. But we are all conditioned, I mean, we are all limited living beings. So we need others also. So here he's saying, Lord Brahma, he could not do the service himself. So if we are in some illusion that, you know, I will do the service myself, you know, we are in illusion if we think that, you know, we can do the service ourselves. We need cooperation. We need others. So here he's saying the Lord Brahma, he in turn, then he created 9 personalities who helped him in the service. And so this goes on, actually. And so the Prajapati Daksha also here, as Prabhu was sharing yesterday. So he receives a wife from Lord Vishnu, who helps him create. So again, we are in big time illusion to think that, you know, we move the world. There are so many people that are connected. You know, this has been my realization also. Just I've been worshipping Kishore Kishori the last month or so. And I do the 4 o'clock arati. It's a short 8-minute arati, right? But so many things are happening, so many devotees are involved, you know, behind the scenes for that 4-minute arati, for example. So I just take a shower and come here, and then I pick up the fruits from the refrigerator. Okay. So some devotee here, you know, some devotees, they must have gone to purchase that bhoga, right? Or somebody may have donated the bhoga. Either way, some devotees went to purchase the bhoga. Some devotees may have donated, you know, are donating for that bhoga to be purchased. You know, that. And then some devotees are helping the bhoga to be, you know, on Saturday morning or whenever we do it, Thursday morning, I don't know. All the bhoga comes in, and devotees, you know, put the bhoga in the refrigerator. So many devotees, you know, unload the truck and put it in the fridge. That. And then when I come in the 2:30 in the afternoon, you know, Bhakta Terence, you know, he's washing the pots. That. Yeah. And then, you know, I offer sweets. So somebody's making the sweets every day, I mean, every week. And I just go into the fridge and, you know, pick up, you know, 16 pieces and put them on the plate. And offer. So just, you know, for, you know, one small service, seemingly small service, there is hours and hours of service of devotees. There are so many devotees involved. And then when I come, 4 o'clock, you know, Vaishnava Sevananda Prabhu, he is here. And he is, you know, cleaning the temple floor every day. So it's not just happening, you know, by magic chance. So there are devotees involved, you know, doing, you know, different things. So even, you know, so if I'm in illusion, if I'm thinking, well, I'm doing the 4 o'clock arati, you know, by myself, there are so many devotees facilitating, you know, my service. So we are connected beings. We all are, you know, playing an important role in everybody, each and everyone's Krishna consciousness. So it's no, we're not irrelevant. We are, you know, we are important. I mean, not like in a false sort of way, but, you know, everyone counts. You know, the devotees that are doing the gardening outside, you know, nicely they're maintaining Kishore garden. Yeah. Anyway, I don't go into a list here, but the point I'm making here is to just, you know, have this, have the worship of Kishore Kishori or any service going year after year after year, decade after decade. It has, many devotees have, you know, given their life for, you know, many, many years. So this is another point here. So we need each other's help to practice Krishna consciousness. So we have to do our service, and then if we have the capacity, you know, if we have the desire, we will have the capacity to see how we can, you know, enhance other service. Even if it is just words. So there are four ways. Pranair, Arthair, Dhiya, Vacha. So if nothing, at least some words of encouragement. You know, or some practical service. That. Having something that, give something that we have. Artha, Dhiya, intelligence, invest. You know, consciousness, sit down with the devotee, discuss how, you know, the service could be done, like if I have a service, how it could be done, you know, in a better way or that. So we can give our intelligence. So we all can contribute, you know, something or the other. That's another point. Okay. No, I've not even gotten to the purport yet. Purpose. Nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become more powerful, become powerful by the grace of the Lord. So obviously this austerity is not the austerity like Hiranyakashipu performed. In Bhagavad Gita, we'll refer to that. In the 17th chapter, the divisions of faith, Krishna talks about austerity and penances in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. So here we are not talking about austerity in the mode of passion or ignorance. So there are many, many examples we can give of people who performed austerities and their heart was not purified. In fact, the opposite was accomplished. They became more proud, of their, borrowed plumes. But the in a way, the prayojana, the test, the litmus test of our austerity is our heart becoming pure or not? Our service, whatever services we are doing, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and services, are we becoming pure? Are we becoming cleansed? Or are we putting on more dirt, by becoming proud of whatever we are doing? So that's the proof of our austerity. And Krishna actually mentions in verses that not even, beauty, knowledge, pronunciation, opulence, even too much hearing, austerity, he cannot be known by all these things. Only unto those whom he chooses to show his favor, he can be known. So we cannot capture Krishna. So this is the contemplation, even in the Damodar pastime. So they are thinking, wow, Lord, Mother Yashoda, the sages, the gyanis, they are, for millions and millions of years, on the dint of their austerities, they are trying to, capture Krishna or have Krishna. And here is Mother Yashoda, she is just, binding Krishna. Krishna is allowing her to bind him. So when he chooses, and why would he choose to be bound by somebody? He only chooses to be bound by a pure devotee, as it is mentioned, act of devotion. So the test for austerity, Krishna consciousness, is whether our heart is getting purer. And there are symptoms by which we can tell that. And this 551, is a beautiful verse which Prabhupada quotes. Tapo devyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhayed yasmad brahma saukhyam tva anantam. Prabhupada quotes this quite often. So this brahma saukhyam tva anantam. So he's talking about, in a nutshell, this is also the Cheto Darpanam, the first verse of Shikshashtakam. Sheto Darpanam Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Chatanam. So Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shuddhayet. So the heart becomes purified. So Cheto Darpanam Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam. Then Anandam Budivardhanam. So here Lord Rishabhdev is saying that you perform this divine austerity, Krishna consciousness, and you will come to a stage of anandam buddhivardhanam, unending, ananda, satchidananda, unending bliss. It's not this material happiness that keeps eluding. So this is what it is. And Krishna consciousness, of course, one doesn't perform Krishna consciousness, to enjoy one's, so to speak. But the devotional service of the Lord, because one is in contact with the reservoir of pleasure, Rama, one feels, you know, the pleasure. Susukham kartam avyayam, like even there in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned. So as we engage in devotional service, we feel, you know, this the happiness that the soul is looking for. Of course, there are some, you know, roadblocks. We have to go through the stages of bhakti. Adoshraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti. So sometimes in the stages of, I mean, as we begin to chant the holy name, then all these anarthas, they come to the surface. It's like cleaning the room that has not been cleaned for a long time. So it's very, very disturbing. It's very, very, you know, not encouraging. You know, when we are in the midst of that cleaning, so much, you know, is flying around. But if we keep our, you know, consciousness fixed on, you know, how the room will be after we are done with cleaning, then we can stay the course. So similarly, so this, you know, dealing with the anarthas that come to our attention because of chanting Hare Krishna, to deal with them is also our devotional service. Otherwise, those anarthas, they impede our devotional service. So a devotee joyfully, he addresses, you know, that also. He takes them on in the company of devotees. He doesn't, you know, shy away or put it off or, you know, close his eyes and hope that, you know, it goes away. But when he has the company of devotees, meeting those challenges is also a joyful experience. So he takes them on joyfully. So Krishna consciousness is blissful, not without its challenges. Its challenges will be there. You know. But when we have the company of devotees, then even meeting those challenges is blissful. So it's blissful in the beginning. Most of us experience this. In the first 5-6 months of our Krishna consciousness, they say that was the best time of my Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, we face, well, the holy name is working. It's not that, you know, the holy name is not, it's exactly working. It's working right on plan, on time. Yeah. So everything is happening as it should. So as we chant the holy name, then all those, you know, unwanted things that we have never seen before, they come to the surface. Then we address them, deal with that. Then we go further, nishtha. So then there is a, you know, happiness that comes from being fixed in one service, you know, day in, day out, guarding for pride, because then that spoils everything. So now I can become very proud that, oh, I'm very regulated, you know, I'm very pakka about my service. And we fall down. And then higher, you know, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. So it's blissful in the beginning, intermediate, although it doesn't seem like it, you know, and then. And this is the austerity that Rishabhdev is encouraging his sons to take, we are being asked to take.
One just quick point from Bhagavad Gita. So just so we have a little more, you know, we have heard all these things, but now so we can, you know, ground ourselves and really look at, identify, homework, possible homework, identify one or two areas of our life, you know, where we can practice this principle of tapasya. And Krishna mentions in the 17th chapter, there is austerity of the body, austerity of speech, austerity of the mind. I'm just going to read the translation. Very beautiful. 17th chapter, verse 14. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. So this is tapaha, austerity of the body. So you can read the purport. That's austerity of the body. Then this is a little harder. Austerity of the speech. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic scriptures, literature. Austerity of speech. Austerity of the mind. The most difficult one. And facing satisfaction, santushta. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So we can identify, you know, Bhagavad Gita distills it. Within, there is a broad, of course, broad austerity is to take up the principles of Krishna consciousness. The whole world is moving in the opposite direction, and some of us, you know, are committed to practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's not easy. You know. So we have taken that austerity. But also then, to, you know, drill down further, you know, what are some of the things that we need to pay attention to, you know, individually. So for some it may be austerity of speech, you know, and again a particular kind of austerity. They may be reciting a lot of Vedic literature, for example, but then their speech may not be, you know, proper, it's not palatable. So then they will have to focus on that particular austerity. For some, they may be doing all this, but then they may not be reciting, maybe not be reciting Shastra. So that may be an austerity we need to take up. Yeah. Austerity of the body, similarly. You know, Devadvija, yeah. Worship of the Supreme Lord, Guru Prajna. Devadvija, Guru Prajna, Pujanam, Saucham Arjavam. Worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master. So the spiritual master one may have regard, you know, but then other devotees, you know, one may be lacking in that. Oh, so then that's an austerity somebody has to perform. Similarly, the austerity of the mind. So an invitation to identify, you know, one or two areas. We cannot focus on more than one or two, but just really focus on one or two. And stick to it, you know, for the next 6 months, 12 months, consistently. And we will find that even one area, if we try to apply consistently, I mean, many of these areas are interconnected. So we will, you know, in a way, purify other areas as well. It's not like you need to focus on this and that and that and this. But stay focused on one. They are interconnected. And it's easier to, you know, measure and, you know, monitor that. And if you have some devotees in your life, so there is, you know, you do it yourself, but even better if you have somebody in your life, you know, share with them and work as a team. Okay. So this is 17th chapter, verses 14, 15 and 16, Bhagavad Gita. We'll pause there. It's a very nice and a deep topic. Thank you very much. Any discussion, any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You discussed how we're insignificant, but we're not irrelevant. If you could clear that up.
Speak into my... Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. That's on.
All right. You talked about how we're insignificant, but we're not irrelevant. If you could clear that up.
Okay. So the question is, could we discuss a little more about how we are insignificant, but we are not irrelevant? Okay. Irrelevant. relevant. Well, we can take the example of the different parts of your body also, of our body, right? So each part of the body, it is performing a specific function. You know, Prabhupada gives us a beautiful example, story of, you know, the different limbs of the body, they're going on strike. You know that one? Yeah? So one time, the different parts of the body, you know, the hands and the legs, you know, and the eyes and so on and so forth, they say that why does the stomach always have to enjoy? You know, why does he have to be always in the center? Why can't I be in the center? So they say, we'll go on strike. We will not cooperate with the stomach. So the hands, they stop, you know, doing their things. The legs, they don't do their functions. But what happens is, as so then they find that they are actually, you know, losing energy. They're not able to function properly. Then they come to realize, oh, actually the stomach, he is serving all of us. So we are serving the stomach by, the hand is serving the stomach by putting the food into the mouth. But then the stomach is not just the enjoyer. The stomach does its function. It digests the food and then it, you know, gives the energy to all the parts of the body. So they understand that, oh, we also have, you know, a role to play. So then they work cooperatively with the stomach. So like that. So similarly, each one of us, we may have different, you know, capacities. Well, for example, right now, I mean, you have some friends here, right? You do some services at the temple. Yeah. So of course you can say, well, I mean, if I don't do it, you know, somebody else will do it, right? That could be, yeah. In a sense, Krishna's service will go on. You know, if I don't do it, somebody else will. But that still doesn't mean that I'm irrelevant. You follow? There is a specific role, you know, that I have been, you know, called to perform, and that's I have to do that. That's one. You know, even from a mundane perspective. Another is, you know, the higher perspective is, well, each one of us is a part and parcel of Krishna, right? So we, each one of us, we have a relationship with Krishna. So actually the pure devotees, the Mahabhagavata devotees, that's why they see, they are seeing that their vision is that, wow, the way, you know, Michael, the way Michael can serve Krishna, even I cannot serve Krishna. That's something very unique between Mike and Krishna. Follow. And similarly, you know, Manoj and Yatasha Krishna. So each one of us, Krishna, he's unlimitedly, you know, he can enjoy unlimitedly. And so he expands himself into unlimited living entities so he can have an exchange of love with them. So, anyway, not to get too proud of ourselves, but yes, even I, even me, you know, can give pleasure to Krishna. That's not, so that's real humility. That I have a relationship with Krishna. I have turned away from it, but wow, but even I, Krishna cares about me. Well, that's why he has come as a super soul. If he were irrelevant, you know, why would Krishna bother to come as a super soul into each and every living entity's heart, even the worm in the stool? So for Krishna, you know, no one is irrelevant. Everybody is relevant. And his goal is everybody should be engaged in the service of Krishna. So from that perspective, that's the reality. We cannot lose sight of the reality. That one. And then if we come down to the, you know, ground reality, as I gave the example of the, you know, of my service, so there are so many different devotees that are doing, you know, different services. And I feel it. I like, let's say, I go to the fridge and there's no burfi or something, you know, at 4 o'clock. I would offer, like, oh, wow. So then I feel, you know, the absence of the devotee who does that service. We don't have to try it, but we can try that where, we can learn things the hard way, where, you know, we lose the association of a devotee for some reason or the other, and then we are forced to realize, oh, wow, what an impact, you know, they made in our Krishna consciousness, or how relevant they were. So each one of us, not in a false sort of way. So there is the real ego. Real ego is we are all servants of Krishna. And it's not just Krishna and you. Krishna is being served in the spiritual world with unlimited other devotees. Yeah, and so everybody is doing their part. Okay? Yes, Prabhu. That's it. Yeah.
About significance and relevance. Our significance is the only when we are, or when we see ourselves in relation to Krishna.
Connected.
So like the parts of the body, the finger is significant when it is connected to the body. If it's not connected, then it has no significance and no relevance. So by seeing ourselves in relation to Krishna, we can become very significant because Krishna is significant. But when we don't see ourselves in relationship with Krishna, that it is Krishna's mercy by which I'm able to do whatever I'm able to do, then if we don't see it, then we're insignificant. Even when we see it, then we realize our insignificance anyway. We're very tiny.
Exactly.
But when we are with Krishna, even tiny can do something very significant. And that is our relevance then. Our relevance is that each part of the body has its place and other parts cannot take that place. If I lose a finger, yeah, I cannot put a toe there. I mean, I'll have five, but the toe cannot do what the finger can do. In that sense, it's relevant. So each one of us has a role to play, and others can fill our role, but still, our role and our service has its value and place. I liked his example of parts of the body going on strike. I have a question.
Yeah, Prabhu.
Just to get some discussion going. You said when we have anarthas, one should joyfully look at it and work on it in the company of devotees. But what if the anarthas actually come up only in the company of devotees? By myself, you know, one may be doing pretty good. What to do?
We were having this discussion in the morning. So the question is, it seems that when I am practicing Krishna consciousness by myself, or I'm in my own bubble, things are fine. But you know, in relationships, you know, things come up. So then, what do we do? Because the one of the ways in which one can coast, or one can continue to practice devotional service even through difficult times, is by, you know, taking help of devotees. That's what Prabhu is saying. Well, firstly we have to look inwards. Well, let's start with the spiritual conception. So we are a spirit soul. The nature of the soul is to be in relationships. It has a relationship with Krishna, but it has a relationship with other living entities also. So if I have, so I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, and then I'm having, let's see, if I'm having difficulty with all relationships, that is definitely a clue, right? That it cannot be them, it has to be me. If it is all relationships, that's one. Then this second is, let's hope that's not the case. Then the second is, there is some challenge in some relationships. Okay, so then if that is the case, then let us find at least one relationship. This is what I've learned from my limited practice of Krishna consciousness and from hearing. Even if we have one relationship, you know, in our Krishna consciousness that we feel safe and secure in, that relationship is enough to take us back home, back to Godhead. So let's say, you know, at least some relationships we have. So amongst those some relationships, identify one in which somehow we can stay in that relationship. And even in that relationship, some things may still may come up. But again, you know, talking about it from an, you know, feelings or affects perspective. If the distress, so there is distress in a relationship, right? There's distress in a relationship. But if that is occasional, you know, the distress is occasional and, you know, circumstantial, just one circumstance triggers it, and but then there is enough interest, there is enough, you know, sort of, you know, freedom to act in the relationship. So act in the relationship. Even we may see some, you know, some areas, you know, which there is some distress even in that relationship. So then continue to act in that relationship. And then look inwards as to what is this distress about. This person I trust for most part, but we know when this topic comes up, so if you look within, we will see, you know, what it is. We will find out that the cause of distress is actually in our own heart, it's not the other person, you know. Yeah. And then when we come to realize that, don't be, you know, shameful, or don't be ashamed to admit it, that, wow, Prabhu, I was thinking, you know, it was your fault, but I'm realizing that, you know, the issue is here in my heart, you know. So of course, when the other Vaishnava, when he receives it, so he's not like, I knew it, you know, I knew it was you, it was not me. But so then he stays compassionate. He says compassion. He didn't say, yeah, I knew it all along, I was just waiting for you to, you know, share it with me and things like that. But yeah, I said, yeah, so we can say, I'm, you know, to the best of my capacity, ability, I'm here to serve you. You know, I'm here to serve you with, whether you want to look at that anartha or you don't want to look at the anartha, I'm here. You know, it's your call. And when you're ready, let's go. And so sometimes that Vaishnava, as the Vaishnava does, so sometimes they may even refer the Vaishnava to another person, you know, who may have some specific, you know, skill and like that to deal with that area. So then on the strength of my faith with my original, the original Vaishnava, I repose trust in the other Vaishnava. So it's a network of loving relationships. You know. So yeah. Because Prabhupada says that impersonalism is born out of frustration in relationships. You know. So we will go in that direction otherwise. I don't want relationship. And if we have no one, then we are really in a crisis. But even then, we can pray to Kishore Kishori, pray to someone, and please help me. Because if we are not able to reach out to somebody, that's the most painful thing, actually. That's the most painful thing. Because we are suffering, and also for the devotees also it's very painful to see, us going through it. So it's painful all around. So we can pray to the deities. Somehow, send me somebody who I can open my heart to. And that's how it begins typically. One compassionate Vaishnavi, they come into our life, and then other doors open, many doors open. Thank you for your question. What time is it? 8:40. Anything else, anyone? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Accept my humble obeisances.